to another interview for the Future Positive podcast, powered by Capitalize. I'm Kirsty McGregor, accountant in residence at Capitalize, and I'm also chairman of the Corporate Finance Network. And today I am flying solo on this podcast for this very special interview. Today's guest is Deborah Corey, who has been in HR for the past 20 years, including working with companies such as Gap, Merlin Entertainments, and Quintiles. And she says she's developed skills which have made her into, I love this term, a HR rebel. She was introduced to me by Debbie, director at the Reward and Employee Benefits Association. So she comes highly recommended. And Deborah says she is now in the pay it forward part of her career, again, a term I love, which includes sharing her knowledge by speaking, coaching and writing, which has included her writing and publishing not just one, not two, but four books around the subject. Wow, that is impressive. Hi, Deborah. Thanks for joining us. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me join you today.
Oh, thanks, Deborah. So I'm keen to explore, once I get my teeth in, more about what you do and what tips you have for the leaders in our accounting firms in particular. You talk about companies having to create genuine, meaningful and lasting change and challenging traditional ways of treating their people. So this is something that's really going to ring a bell with our profession, which, of course, has been around for hundreds of years. So some companies are still in those traditional ways of how things have always been done. But now you say they should think and act in a more rebellious, strategic, action-orientated way. So can you explain more to our listeners about how you work with companies and what you're bringing to them, which is different?
Yeah, you know, I've been on a bit of a journey, this rebellious journey, and I think I've always been a bit of a rebel, but I don't know if I was always what I would consider a strategic, effective rebel. And it was when I was writing my second book, which is called Build It, the Rebel Playbook for Employee Engagement. And I was writing it with my CEO, who is a huge, huge rebel. And basically what we did in this book is challenged and poo-pooed everything I had been doing for the last 20 years. And it was great. You know, some people would make you fall apart and cry. Me, I found it enlightening. And it really gave me an opportunity to take everything that I had learned. So it's not like everything that we've been doing, both myself and all of you listening, is wrong. It's like, what can we do to take this knowledge and look at it in the new context, in the new world? You know, businesses are run differently. I'm sure you all run your businesses different. The people you have working for you are different. They want different things. They need different things. So my whole approach, and if you could see my office, you would know this. I've got this picture of giraffes with 3D glasses on. And what I challenge myself and others to do over and over again is to put on 3D glasses and look at the world differently and take a step back and challenge why you're doing things, and then what and how you do it. And that's what I do now. I love what I'm doing. So instead of just helping one company at a time, being an HR leader, I now go and I do talks like this, where hopefully every person on the call will walk away being able to do one thing differently, or go in a company and help them brainstorm and figure out how to do it.
Right. And that's brilliant. So that's our challenge for today, to make sure that everybody walks away with at least one thing. So laughing back your ears, let's go into this.
Let's go for it.
So in the accounting profession, I mean, like many sectors I know, but we are really struggling hugely with employee recruitment and retention. And as a result, regional practices are competing with larger national firms more than ever. And they're driving the salary expectations up for new recruits and also the benefit packages. So what do you find young professionals really look for in an employer? And do you think that there's a different angle that accounting firms could be taking here to attract the best staff?
Well, first of all, it's interesting because most of my career, I worked in big companies. So you talk about like big accounting firms. I worked not necessarily in accounting, but I worked in big firms. And my last company that I worked at was more of a small company. So more of what all of you are in right now. And I have to say, I never realized how much more I could do in these smaller companies. So I personally see it as an opportunity for you. I see it as an opportunity to be able to do things in a more innovative way, in a faster way, and being able to draw people in because of that. And if I think about what people are looking for, I'm the type of person who likes to compartmentalized. Thank you very much. I'm never going to use that word ever again. So, to answer this question, I put it into three pieces. First, who you are. So as a company, I think if you're going to want to be able to attract people with all of this competition, you have to figure out who you are. So hopefully you all have a mission, a purpose, a values. Every company needs to have that. And if you don't, that's something that you need to go, because people these days are looking for that. They want to know what the company is about, what the company stands for. I've seen surveys that say that now people are looking at companies' culture, looking at their values before doing it. I've got a 19-year-old son. When we were looking for apprenticeships, we looked on websites together and we had discussions about, what does this value mean? Is this something that you want to work at a company that has this value? And if you don't have that value. So it has to start with the who you are, and make sure that you know who you are and you're shouting it from the rooftops. I think the second part is what you do and how you do things differently maybe than some of these bigger companies. I call these the people, the pace, the processes. So how are you doing things that, you know, new recruits are going to want to do? You know, one of the things about working in a big company is it takes forever to do something. I worked at a company once where I had to put 10 people in a pension scheme and I had 40 people on my project team.
Gosh.
Yeah. So what are you doing and how you get things done? How do you communicate with your people? How you can be innovative and nimble and genuine and all those things that are so, so important. And again, shout that off the rooftops. And then the final bit, and then I'll pause. You can ask me questions about this, is how do you treat your people? And that is so, so important. Over the last couple of years, I've seen employees go from loving their company, being engaged with their company, to completely disengaged just because of how they were treated. My neighbor, as a matter of fact, was the one that made me see this like absolutely loud and clear, because he loved his company. And then when all of a sudden his company told him he had to come back to the office 5 days a week, we don't care that you've been sick during COVID, we want you coming into the office. All of a sudden he went out and started looking for a new job. So we can spend a lot of time talking about the caring, but if you can focus in those three areas, even one at a time, you will be able to find those people. And we'll talk more about retention and keep those people as well.
Yeah, we will. And I just want to pick up on and elaborate a little bit on one thing, because you've just reminded me of something here that I work with an accountancy firm that they were really strong on developing, and they knew it was really important to develop their core values, their mission, and so on. And they spent quite a bit of senior leadership time and also bringing the rest of the firm in as well to try and bring those alive and create them and then bring them alive. And they did. And then I saw a recruitment advert for that same company looking for part qualified accountants. And they just went straight back to the old playbook of, we're looking for an accountant that can prepare tax returns, prepare accounts, da, 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 you know, and it was just really dry. And it did not reflect who they said they were. And so it's about bringing it all together, isn't it? Making it very holistic and living it through everything that you do in the firm.
Well, funnily enough, my third book that I wrote is called Bringing Your Values Out to Play. And I wrote that book because, first of all, I wanted to help companies come up with the right values. But just as important to your point, what can you do to bring your values out to play throughout the entire employee and business experience? I do workshops with leaders and we basically look at each of the aspects. Okay, how are you going to hire people? How are you going to run your meetings living your values? I have this one client, we spent 3 months talking about how we were going to change the way meetings were run because they were so not run based off of their new values. So I'm really glad that you raised that, because I think it's a really important point. Once you've got those magic values, what are you going to do to make sure that you're using them over and over again? Because if not, what's going to happen? First of all, your employees are going to say, well, nobody's living them anyway, why should I? And then they're going to say, why do I want to stay here? It's not genuine. It just does not make sense.
Yeah, which brings me perfectly onto the point about retention. So I think, you know, if we can increase our retention, then we have to do less recruitment. And you know, recruitment is so expensive. Mm. But it's such a massive challenge for many regional accountancy firms in particular at the moment, because the great resignation, as we're calling it now, has made many employees look around the market, and they're looking at other opportunities that are presenting themselves to them on probably a daily basis, especially for those in the qualified category where they absolutely are demanded and supply is so low. So when you've got employees that are so easily tempted away, even if they just have one bad day at the office, that might be enough now to have them looking elsewhere. Do you think there is a need for a wholesale change here, and a wholesale kind of look at their existing HR offering for existing employees, and not just look at recruitment, but really look at their existing teams, how to revitalize them, how to encourage them to remain motivated and loyal to their own firm? Is there, you know, should there be workshops that they're running, and should they really keep this at the center of their leadership strategy at the moment?
Absolutely. And I think it starts with awareness. And being aware of what's happening externally. So what are your competitors doing? But more important, internally. And what are your people looking for? I mean, I'm a big fan of just getting out there, talking to my employees, doing surveys, doing focus groups, whatever you can do. And then using that information. I mentioned my second book, Build It, The Rebel Playbook. In the book, we have something called the Engagement Bridge Model. And I'll give you a link to it. Or to my website where I have something on it. And in the model, there are 10 elements. Now, it's not rocket science. These are basically all the things that we as businesses have in our people toolkit. Things like, what are you doing? What's your approach to communicating with your people? What's your approach to leadership, job design, recognition, pay, benefits, well-being, all of those types of things. And I've got something you can download from my website for free, where you can go through each of these elements. And as you say, take a step back, think about, okay, let's just say recognition, for example. What are we doing well now? What are our people saying that they want and need more of? And what can we do next? And it's really just trying to understand, almost doing a health check. I'm a big fan of doing things that I can visually see. So going through all of these different elements of the engagement bridge and saying, which are the ones that are healthy, green, which are the ones that are yellow that need a little bit of tweaking, and which are the ones that are on the operating table that really, you know, like, let's just say values, for example, you have no values whatsoever. That is on the operating table. That is something that you need to do before you do anything else. You know, recognition. We're doing a couple things well, but our people say that they need this. Okay, that's yellow. Let's do that and come up with a plan. And those little changes will make a big difference, because if you look at why people are leaving, they say it's money. And I hear it all the time, but it's not money. People are leaving because the culture isn't right. They don't feel appreciated. Bad boss. If you could see my office, you'd see from my second book, a phrase called bad bosses ruin lives, because our bosses don't know how to, you know, they don't know how to manage in this new world. So what are we doing there? You know, lack of development, lack of job advancement, work flexibility. We could spend a whole hour just on that. And even communications and transparency. So there's tons of things to do, but it's trying to figure out, to your point, where do we need to go? What do we build? When do we build?
And I think the issue we have in the profession is that in most, not all of our firms will be like this, but most firms I work with that are mid-level firms or smaller firms are having to manage all this HR themselves and their all the recognition and all the pay and the recruitment. And it's been looked after by the senior leadership team, who are also still servicing clients and doing all the admin of the practice and all the other things that go with running an accountancy firm. So I think there's got to be recognition, I think, that leaders can't do it all themselves if this isn't their expertise, and if it's just going to go to the bottom of the to-do list because it's difficult, it's long-winded, it's a process, it's not something they can tick off quickly. So do you think, you know, bringing in other HR professionals to work with them and paying for that expertise, even if it's just for a project, would really get this shifted along, wouldn't it? It would give them the focus and the time.
Yeah. I mean, I think that you need to be involved with it in the business. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, because if you just do a, I'm a type of person where I always do the cost benefit ratio.
Yeah.
So, but if you're going to lose five people and it's going to cost you, you know, say £10,000 to recruit each person.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't take a mathematician to know that even if you only spend half of that, having somebody help you for a few days, absolutely, absolutely makes sense. I mean, one of the things that the reason I write my books, to be honest with you, is to equip people so they can do some things themselves. As a matter of fact, for my values, I know I shouldn't do this. I'm not a very good consultant, but I came up with a DIY values toolkit so people can do it themselves. Mm-hmm. So instead of hiring a consultant to come in and do values, you know, you get a group of people who are excited to do it. So you might not have time to do the project. You be the person who leads it and then get a task force in and then maybe have someone come and do a little bit of over the shoulder consulting. But absolutely, you know, as an accounting firm, I'm sure you're weighing things for your clients on what makes sense for them to invest in, how do they pay their taxes, all those types of things. You need to do the same thing with your people. Yeah, don't put it on the bottom of your list because it will be too late if you, you know, it's not, the problems won't go away on their own.
No. Now, just on the hoof here, I've not prepped you with this question, but I'm just wondering, given everything that you've seen and all the different companies you've seen, is there anything really novel that you've seen in terms of maybe benefits and rewards packages that just make you think, oh, you know, that's really different. That's quite unique, you know, rather than just the healthcare, maybe a gym membership, maybe flexible working or whatever the standard things are. What have you seen, anything that you've seen that's just made you think that's clever?
Now, I'm gonna have a caveat and say that it depends on your people and what your people need. But in the companies that either I've been working at myself or what I've been seeing, you know, helping companies in the last couple of years, when it comes to benefits, I'm a big fan of just-in-time benefits. I think that if you look at our people right now, the types of benefits that we used to do in the past, the ones that you were there to help us in an emergency, we still need to have those types of things. But if we really want to show our people that we care about them day in and day out, we need to look at ways to support them in the moment. So for example, one of my favorite benefits is a discount benefit. You know, who doesn't want to save money? I love in the moment benefits and also benefits that touch everyone.
Yeah.
Because again, too often we pick things that only touch little people, but like, you know, with the cost of living where it is, why wouldn't we have a discount benefit where people can save 5-10% on their shopping? You know, anything that, you know, people, and every time they save money, they think, wow, my company did that for me. I think things like that are really good. I'm seeing people get really creative in helping people in challenging times, you know, like with well-being. What are you doing to support your people's physical and mental well-being? Those types of things. Even just things like saving the environment. Some company, I just interviewed a company that put in a benefit that helps educate people on reducing your CO2 and working together to do that. So it's what are the things that are going to make a difference, but also what aligns with who you are as a business. Mm. So if you as a business are passionate about one certain thing, can you look at a benefit for that? You know, could you, you know, maybe you're passionate about a certain cause. Twice a year, you all get together and you have a team building and you do some volunteering work for that. So I think that makes a difference. Also, my book that I just wrote on recognition, I love how companies are getting creative in how they recognize their people. And again, it just letting their personality show. And it just, it shows a matter of pride in their employees. You know, when they're like, who is it? Zappos has a monthly goat award, greatest of all time, where you get a stuffed goat. Or Atlassian has a bobblehead, like one of those little figurines with your head. An airline puts their faces of the employee of the quarter on the airplane. I mean, there's so many things you can get creative with based off of your personality. And the good thing about the types of things I'm talking about now is get a group of people, get a group of champions across your business. They're the ones who will come up with the best ideas. You just need to go and sort of keep them going and help
facilitate.
Them.
Exactly. Love it. Right. Well, I get to ask the final question now, which we ask all of our guests. This is the Future Positive podcast. So we always ask, what excites you about the future?
I think what excites me the most, and being an HR and people person, is that businesses have genuinely seen that people matter. Being an HR person and sitting around the table and having to just over and over again talk about how important our people are and the difference our people can make, people are hearing that and people are doing things about it. So to me, that really, really excites me because, you know, I'm sure everyone on the call goes into work and doesn't say, I want to ruin someone's life. They go into work and they say, I want to run a great business and I want to make it a great place to work. And right now there's so many amazing ways that we can do it and we understand how to do it better. So we've learned a lot from doing it wrong and it's all about moving forward and still stumbling and making mistakes, but moving forward in a positive way.
Oh, love that. Brilliant answer. Look, it's been brilliant to talk to you today, Deborah. Thank you. Where can people find out more about you, your website with this link and your books? And what's the best place for them to find you?
So LinkedIn is the best way. And that way you can see some of the things that I share. My website is debcohr.com. And if you want to go to the free resources page, and there's a couple of different things that you might want to download that could help you or read some of the blogs as well. And if all else fails, just connect with me and send me a question through LinkedIn or through my website.
And best place to buy your books through Amazon?
They're all on Amazon. Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Fantastic. Well, look, that wraps up this episode of the podcast. And I just think everybody will definitely have something they can take away from this today, which was all completely our aim at the beginning. But for those new to Capitalize, just in case you don't know who we are, our vision is to give small businesses and their advisors transparency and control over business finance, because we want every small business to be able to identify the risks that they face, explore how they stand from a credit perspective, and then choose the right funding that best fits their business. For those of you that don't already, you can subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and all good podcast platforms. And go back and listen to our complete back catalogue of episodes. Fantastic interviews with people such as Deborah, but from people across the finance, accounting, tech, and the wider business space. More about the Future Positive Podcast and Capitalize can be found on capitalize.com. And thanks for listening. Don't forget we publish a bite-sized episode every other Friday morning on the Capitalize Business Breakfast Podcast, where we discuss three business news stories, which you might have missed from the past couple of weeks. So if you subscribe, you can tune into that too. And there'll be another brilliant interview coming soon. And we'll see you then. Thanks, Deborah.
Thank you.